The Lunchtime Social is brought to you in association with White Fibre for the best deals in broadband, television and phone, 100% local. All employees live on the Isle of Wight. Check them out at www.whitefibre.com.
Now for the scariest part of the week, which is we hand over this hour to our 4P students, the team from Cowes, which is Kate, otherwise known as Curly Sue, and also we've got Carmelo as well. And Curly Sue came in on Monday because unfortunately Carmelo was doing you were doing some kind of test, weren't you?
An exam. English exam.
So we left it up to Kate to come up with an idea, so we can blame her if it goes wrong. So over to you, Kate, what are we doing?
The question was, if you could bring back any dead musician, who would it be and why?
Okay, which was possibly inspired by the sad passing of David Bowie?
Yeah, definitely.
Is he on the list?
Oh, of course he's on the list.
Good. Okay, so what about you? First of all, Carmelo, who would you bring back?
Probably Michael Jackson. He was quite a big influence, as I stated earlier.
Okay, all right, but there are people now that wouldn't have heard that earlier on. It's not like, you know, this isn't an interrogation. Now, so Michael Jackson is you're a fan of. So, musically, name some songs that you like.
Probably one of his best ones is probably Thriller, I'd say.
Okay.
I really like that one.
Which originally came out about 1982, 1983. It was an album. You got all the details there?
Yeah.
Yeah, am I right?
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, okay. It's good enough, isn't it? And it had a really good video as well.
Yeah.
So if he was alive now, what would you ask him?
I'd probably ask him... What made you want to do music anyway?
It's probably his dad. His dad told him he had to. All those years ago. If you look into it, I think they were all like conditioned into music. I think they showed an interest. I think Dad pushed them all into it. And then obviously, as his career got further down the line, he took more control of it. But incredibly talented. But what other questions would you ask him? You haven't got one? Let's move over to Kate then. What would you ask Michael Jackson? Because I know you're a fan of his as well.
Yeah, big fan. Probably just what kind of direction he'd take his music in. Because he went through so many genres, like soul, kind of a bit of funk, quite a lot of funk, a little bit more kind of hip-hoppy kind of vibes and things like that. And I'd just be really interested to see what kind of direction he takes his music in, because before he died, he did a lot of ballads and things, so...
I don't think there was a genre that he didn't do.
And
he did everything, I think, brilliantly well. I thought he was a musical genius when it came down to it. You're right about the soul, he did the disco, the funk... He also did a bit of rock as well, but no one could write a ballad like Michael Jackson. I mean, incredible stuff. And there was a time when apparently the rumours were that he had fallen out with Paul McCartney over the rights of Beatles songs. So you might want to check that out as part of your project a little bit later. So let's move over to you. Let's ask you, who's on top of your list?
Top of my list is probably either Michael Jackson again, or probably Otis Redding.
Otis Redding?
Yep.
Which you said earlier on, and I was kind of shocked at. If my memory serves me rightly, he would have died when? 67?
Yeah.
1967. And so why... I mean, if we'd have looked at you and thought, right, okay, you're 16, who are you going to be bringing back? It wouldn't have been Michael Jackson. It wouldn't have been Otis Redding. It might have been, I don't know, somebody like Tupac or somebody like that. Somebody who died recently, maybe David Bowie. But not Otis Redding. That's the sort of thing that maybe your mum and dad would have said.
Well, Tupac was an incredibly talented rapper, but yeah. Otis was one of the best soul, jazz and blues singers. And he set the path for so many other people, which kind of set the path for R&B as well in modern days. So very influential, very, very big talent.
Now, how many albums of his have you got? How many of you know? Do you borrow your mum's and dad's? Are they on vinyl? Are they on CD? And at this point, you might want to say, well, you might say, what's vinyl? Like some 16-year-olds would say,
because no one knows what it is anymore.
But so what albums have you got of his? And whose are they? Are they your mum's or your dad's?
Well, you can get all music online now, so you just have pretty much all his albums on Spotify or YouTube or wherever, so you can listen to any of them.
Do you listen to Otis Redding a lot?
Sometimes, yeah.
Okay, I just find it fascinating. There's a great song, Got to Get Home to Watch My Little Girl Dance, from Otis Redding. We may get time to play that between now and 12 o'clock, although this is all speech orientated today. So this from here on in, it's just you, me, and a microphone. And if you do want to phone in out there, you can, 240666. We have put some messages on Facebook as well. Do you think the same thing when somebody says Otis Redding? Did you think... Who?
I completely don't know who Otis Redding is.
Okay. See, if I were your age, I'd have probably said exactly the same thing. And I don't know. I still don't know too much about him, other than he died in 1967. He was a great soul singer, and he was sitting on the dock of the bay for a whole load of time. And what was his other big hit?
Try a Little Tenderness.
There you go.
But he did write Respect for Aretha Franklin, which he changed to add the RESPECT into it.
Okay. Which is, again, you've done your research. Who's next on the list, Carmelo?
I put, just because she was like, I felt sympathy for her, Amy Winehouse.
Mm. Right, okay.
Yeah, I felt that the media had driven her mad, and especially her husband as well, who had taken into drugs with her life.
Okay, so... Our friend in the green room at the moment is Brandon Langdon, and he has a theory that most people like Amy Winehouse, and there's a similar thing here. I think he did a test on this, and there is X amount of people that were in that position and died at the age of 27.
Oh, yeah.
27 Club, yeah.
The 27 Club, yeah. Is that what they call it?
Yeah.
27. Are you aware of the 27 Club?
Yeah.
Okay, so who else was in the 27 Club then?
Kurt Cobain, Jimi Hendrix was in it, Amy Winehouse, load of people. There were quite a few rappers, I think. Was Biggie Smalls in 27 Club?
Who? Peggy Smalls?
Biggie Smalls.
Biggie Smalls. Yeah. Is he another rapper?
Yeah.
Right,
really,
okay.
Famous.
He sounds like a rapper. He must have passed me by. So that's the 27 Club then?
Mm-hmm.
So, Amy Winehouse, great soul singer. What's your thoughts on her, Kate?
Well, I think she was so young. She had so much more to offer with, in terms of her style. And if she could have been a jazz singer, and if the media didn't put so much pressure on her, then she could have done so much more artistically and developed in a lot more ways. And, yeah.
Do you think that some of these people, if the media would have taken a bit more of a different line with them, that they, you know, could they be blamed in any way for the pressure that they put on them? Because let's be honest, you know, the media can control an awful lot.
I'd say, yeah, definitely. I mean, especially with Amy Winehouse, the way that there was always this constant pressure on her, and that everyone was always looking at her, and she couldn't really express herself musically without people saying you have to do this, it must have put a lot of pressure on you, and it's understandable.
When you look at their lives, and you know, very much of the time they're under the microscope, and you look at that, is that something that you would like to do, like to be? Would you like to be that famous? Would you like it when, you know, people shoving a camera in your face every 5 minutes?
I'd hate it.
What about you, Carmelo?
Maybe, but I think I'd get pretty angry at, like, paparazzi and tabloids,
right,
quite a lot.
I thought you were going to get around to saying, yeah, actually, I'd like that.
Just like
that.
When Britney attacked...
Britney's breakdown.
Yep.
Missed that.
Attacked the paparazzi.
Okay. Did it surprise you, you know, when you look at the Amy Winehouse story, does it ever surprise you when you see somebody so young take their own life? Do you almost like see it, in some cases, see it coming?
I think it's quite obvious sometimes how the media treats the celebrities. I think they just feel so much pressure that they can't take to live anymore, if you get what I'm saying.
Okay. Who else is on the list here?
Oof. Well, Bob Marley.
Bob Marley. Oh, wow. Okay, go on, tell us about Bob Marley.
Well, best reggae, most influential reggae artist ever, I'd say.
I think that's a fair assumption.
And he had so much going for him in terms of albums and genre, and he led such a strong path making reggae and that kind of genre popular in the Western world and everything. So.
Okay, go on, name your favourite song.
Well, I'm not actually that big a Bob Marley fan. You asked me about Bob Marley, probably just Three Little Birds.
Three Little Birds, so at least you were able to name one. What about you, Carmelo?
Probably that. We learned it in school.
Clever. You learned it in school? Brilliant.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's probably the only
one. So, when did he die?
Bob Marley?
Yeah.
I'm not too sure on that, actually.
All right. Well, I'll tell you, it was 1981. And there would have been a story. Danny Baker recently brought out his autobiography, and it was quite a funny story because it led on to a comedy series starring Peter Kay. I don't know whether you saw this just before Christmas, Cradle to the Grave. And anyway, in his autobiography, he tells a story of playing in a charity football match in about 1979. And he tackled him and put his studs through his toes. And I believe he got cancer of the foot, cancer of the toe, and he sadly died. And certain people blamed him for that because it all led from that. But it was apparently just a ruse. It was just a story. It wasn't real. But anyway, I just thought I'd throw that in. But yeah, he sadly passed away in about 1981. So yeah, a big influence on reggae music and pop music as well.
Yeah.
What else have we got?
I think we got, of course, David Bowie. We got to talk about him.
Got to talk about Bowie.
Okay, let me just stop you there. Because there is this sort of argument over how you say his name. It is, in fact, Bowie.
Bowie.
It's David Bowie, all right? So it's David Bowie, not Bowie. And there is a book that he brought out about 20 years ago, which I read, and he goes into in one of the chapters, he actually explains that it rhymes with Zoe. Bowie, not Bowie. All right? So carry on. You carry on what you're saying.
Probably the song I liked the most was Space Oddity. It was just... I think that it was just so expressive that it actually linked with people.
Okay, what about you?
I'd say Heroes was my favourite.
Heroes, brilliant song.
Just the genre that he was in, the place he was in at the time where he was in Germany and he was sobering up and everything.
Yeah.
It was just so fitting, and the story behind it and everything is really, really nice.
We started the show on Monday with Heroes. We thought we'd pick a song. Which song can you pick? There's so many songs that David Bowie had hits with and were made famous all over the world. But to me, that's probably the one where you could say, right, okay, let's have that one as the main one. But there's so many others. There really are. The song that you mentioned was a number one, I believe, in 1975. And it actually took from 19... Because he originally released it in 1969, and it took 6 years to get to number one. 6 years to get to number one. I don't know if you've been following, just to digress, the story on Big Brother. Are you a Big Brother fan?
Not really.
You do know that his ex-wife was in Celebrity Big Brother, and there's a big hoo-ha over that now, so we won't delve in too much, but apparently there's an Ofcom complaint gone in, so that'll be interesting to see. So
yeah.
He will be sadly missed, 69 years old, and he had an array of songs, an array of styles, and must have influenced so many people. Some of those people may have even been on the list that we've mentioned already. Mm. So, you know, that's definitely one. What question would you ask him, though, if you came back? If you could get him back, what question would you ask?
Where are you thinking about going next in your genre? What
was you going to do next?
What are you going to do next, yeah.
Because we could do it for you, if you like.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, interesting. Let's take a call. Hi, who's this?
Hello, Ian.
Hello, Keith. How are you?
I'm very well, mate. How's yourself?
Good, I'm fine, thanks. We've got a couple of students, just in case you didn't know. They're Kate and Carmelo, and they've chosen the subject. Which pop star, rock star, musician would you bring back from the dead, and what question would you ask them?
Oh, right. That's a good one, that, isn't it, mate? Especially from the young people like you got there. Rick Wright.
Rick Wright?
Yeah.
Now, I've got to be honest, there's three blank faces in the studio.
Oh, right.
That's his brother, Al Wright, wasn't it?
Oh, right, yeah. No, he was a keyboard player with Pink Floyd.
Ah.
And, you know, I'd just like to get them all back together and do one more gig, really. That's the question I'd ask him.
Was he like the original?
Yeah, Rick Wright, yeah.
Okay, because it was the guy. There was a guy that was in the band. He's sadly no longer with us, but he was the
Sid Barrett.
Sid Barrett, yeah.
Sid Sid Barrett's original work, the original, yeah. And I think Dave Gilmour sort of took over more where Sid went on his weird, wacky way, so to speak.
Is he the one that you would miss most of all, or one that you'd like to bring back and ask a question?
What, the one I've missed most of all out of the band?
Out of, you know, pop stars, musicians, rock stars, call them what you will.
I suppose I would, really, because, you know, I've always been into their music, etc., and, they were one of the biggest proggers out, I suppose you could say, yeah, that and Yes. We know Yes, don't you? I think I do miss him, mate. Yeah, because he was a big a member of the band, and he put a lot of input into the actual music. Yeah,
sure. And it's, you know, everyone's got their own, I don't know, their own heroes, their own style of music that they like on you know, and so on, and it's you know, most, it would be really boring if we all pick Elvis Presley or John Lennon or Mark Bolan.
I think
or
the nearest they got back to reforming was it Live 8, they called it, was it Live 8 2000?
They did do Live 8. Well, yeah. I don't know whether there was a Live 8, but I'm not sure whether they played it or not.
Yes, I think they did, but you know, just to get them back for one more big gig, you know, as a complete unit would be absolutely excellent. Never got to saw them, I'm afraid.
You never got to see him?
No. I think you've got an excellent band over there called White Floyd, actually. It's a tribute band to him.
I've never seen them, but
I've heard of them, yeah.
And I haven't even heard of them, to be honest. But I do know that there is, you know, Pink Floyd tribute acts out there.
Oh, yeah. Crikey,
I'm not really that switched on with Pink Floyd. The hits, maybe. The albums. I know there's a great song that somebody introduced me to a while ago. Shine on
Your Crazy Diamond.
That's the one.
That's it, yeah. And it's that was a tribute to Sid Barrett.
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Head Shine on Your Crazy Diamond, yeah.
Oh, right. Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah, that was a tribute to Sid.
And I say, he died about 2008, the fellow you said that you wouldn't mind bringing back.
Rick Wright, yeah.
Okay, so it's you know, everyone to their own, isn't it, really?
Oh,
it's
yeah,
personal
yeah.
taste.
You know, it's like I did hear the young lady there say that about Michael Jackson, and he was one of a kind. He was like the all different genres of music he covered, and like you said, he started off with soul when he was in the Jackson 5.
He must have been a troubled soul, though, wasn't he?
Well, he never come out. He never had a childhood, mate.
That's the thing.
That's what it boils down to. He never had a childhood.
But do you think that is, you know, the whole reason why? I mean, because he just, I don't know. There was just something about him that you couldn't understand. You couldn't get, because most of the time you couldn't get an interview with him.
No.
Very rarely did he do interviews. And I know that when somebody did do an interview with him, that news reporter, I can't remember what his name was. He did the same thing with Lady Di.
Yeah.
And he kind of stitched him up a little bit, and you know, made him look foolish.
He did indeed.
But it's, I don't know. When you look at these, was he really that much of a recluse?
Well, look what he did to himself, mate. You know, the amount of plastic surgery he had, trying to change himself, he tried to turn himself white, and it's just, he was absolutely well troubled, mate, wasn't he?
I see. I look at that and I think, what do you actually believe? Because some press said something that he didn't. He had a problem with his skin. Others said he'd had operation after operation. And you think, well, what do you believe? And if certain press got it wrong, then that must have been hellish for him.
His father, I wouldn't say he bullied him, but he controlled him. If you know what I mean.
Mm.
You know, he said, you will be a pop star. You will be in the band. He never had a childhood, mate. He never had a chance to grow up.
But then when you get to that age when you can make up your own mind, your own decisions.
Yeah.
It was really strange. And I know that, I mentioned him already, Danny Baker. Danny Baker, back in the early 80s, used to interview a lot of pop stars.
Oh, right.
And he actually got the chance to interview the Jacksons. And he said it was the most bizarre interview ever. It's probably one of the best chapters in the book, because he talks about this interview where they met up in some hotel in London, and they were all in a room, the whole of the Jacksons, they were all in a room, and he had to ask questions to Janet Jackson. She would then ask Michael Jackson, and he would answer, and then she would talk to Danny Baker.
Really?
And it was just, it was, he said it was just the most bizarre interview that he'd ever done.
Very strange indeed, mate. Well, there you go. Let's give somebody else a chance. I'll pop off, mate.
Well, don't pop off literally.
No. Go and join Rick.
Thanks for your call.
Cheers, mate.
Cheers, Keith.
Hello.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay, so you have accumulated a list of people that have contributed. So let's go to you first, Kate. What's the first friend of yours that has actually come back with an answer?
Well, my friend Fox Rawlings said that if he could bring anyone back, it would be Jimi Hendrix, because he died at a really young age and he had years and years left of him of new stuff. And as the industry shifted, he would have kept pushing boundaries, and his death didn't really spark anything new, so we wouldn't lose anything from it, and he was just cut short as an artist, which is really sad.
Do you know what I find really interesting is when people like... And how old's Fox?
Fox is 16 or 17, 16, I can't remember.
So much the same age as you, mm-hmm. And there is an influence there, obviously... but like you, when you said there was an influence there, and we asked you about the music, and you didn't know too many songs, but there was an influence there, which I find it's really quite not strange. It's just it's nice, really, that obviously people remember Jimi Hendrix. I mean, I only remember a couple of his songs, and I wouldn't have put him on the list as like high up. And I'm slightly older, and I'd probably remember it a little bit more, just slightly. But there we are, 16, 17-year-old, going for Jimi Hendrix. And yet there is a statue somewhere on the island, isn't there? Do you know of the statue?
No.
I was going to lead you in, because I thought you did some research on this. It's I think it's over at Freshwater, in one of the posh hotels. There is a statue of Jimi Hendrix, I believe, and people tried to get it removed. And, sadly, that's the Isle of Wight mentality for you. Mm. So, how old was he when he went? Do you know?
27.
Was he really 27?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to double-check that, because this is... Because I'll be honest with you. I looked at... He was 27, you're absolutely right. Because, Brandon Langdon, he's not... renowned for his facts and figures, he's not the best at facts and figures, and he always lets himself down with a little bit of research. But he did actually say that there was the 27 Club, as you mentioned earlier on. Didn't realise that he was 27. I thought he was younger than that. So, what about you, Carmelo? Have you got people that have mentioned, contacted you?
I had my friend say something about Whitney Houston, how their like parents had influenced them into what you knew.
Okay, so when you say your friend, has your friend got a name, or are they remaining anonymous?
Anonymous for now.
Anonymous. I don't want to. Okay, so they were a big fan of Whitney Houston.
Yeah.
Which obviously that's just less than 2 years ago she passed away.
Oh, I think so.
I think it was 20. Was it?
Might have been 2011. Hang on, let me.
2012. It was okay. 2012.
You got it there now. Is it that long? Crikey. Because I know her daughter was very ill for a period of time last year, and she sadly lost her life as well.
Yeah.
And she actually appeared on one of her songs, going back, one of her hits back in the 1990s. That was really sad. That shook the world, I think, as well. Whitney Houston, 2012. You're absolutely right. Around about this time of year, but not 27. So, what else have you got? You got someone else there?
Yep, Ray Charles.
Ray Charles. Go on, tell us about Ray Charles.
Well, I'm not too well versed on him musically, but
right, okay. Bearing in mind that you're 16 and he's probably about 150, where he would have been. Go on.
Yeah, well, obviously there was Hit the Road Jack and everything, and he was just so iconic in terms of soul and funk and just the upcoming of jazz as well and all that.
There was a film recently made of.
I think that was James Brown. The film was made about
James Brown. No, mm-hmm. I think there was a Ray Charles film as well. I'm pretty sure there was a Ray Charles movie, and it may have even been out last year before that. I'm pretty sure it was. And is it Jamie Foxx? Jamie Foxx may have played him.
I'm not sure.
Okay, well we'll check that one out in a wee while. Who else have you made your own list of people here?
Yeah, I have.
Okay, so go on. Let's just rip through the list. Have you made a list as well, Carmelo?
Yeah.
Well, let's go back to Carmelo, because he hadn't had much of a speaking part. So come on, Carmelo. Let's tackle that list.
I've got someone who's really influenced into Marvin Gaye.
I was going to say Marvin Gaye. I was going to say Marvin Gaye.
Well, to me, like, I don't really know who Marvin Gaye is.
One of the best R&B singers. One of the best.
But I'm guessing he said that he was mostly influenced by his song Let's Get It On.
Let's Get It On,
Let's Get It On.
Okay. Well, that is, just to get a bit risque here, that was one of the songs that most people, when they were asked what song they would like to make love to, or they have made love to, that is one particular song. So I'm guessing they got Marvin Gaye to thank for that. But he was, do you know how he died?
I don't actually, but I think it was in the 90s he passed away.
It was about 1983-ish, I think. 1983, and his father shot him.
Oh, yeah, yes. He did. He shot him with a gun that he bought him as well. Yeah.
His father shot him, and it was at the time when I think Sexual Healing was in the charts, and it started going back up the charts. But, you know, you look at that and you think, right, okay, out of all of the deaths that we're discussing, I don't think anybody can say that they died because they were shot by their dad.
After their dad gave them the gun as a present,
But yeah, I think it was about 1982, 83, something like that. Should we check it out? Should we do a little search on Marvin Gaye?
Obviously, it was 1984.
It was 1984, was it?
Yeah.
Okay, and Sexual Healing, I think, came out in about 83, and it started going back up the charts because of it. It was re-released. So there you go. That's a fascinating thing. 30-odd years ago, then, he's been gone, but we're still playing his songs, just like so many of the artists that we're actually talking about. So come on, who's next on the list then, Carmelo?
I got Tina Turner.
Yeah. Mm. Okay. Sadly, yeah. She is still alive.
She is still alive.
Sadly, I mean, sadly, that's not you know. All right. So Tina Turner. I don't know where you get. See what we mentioned earlier on about, you know, when you say stuff, just be thankful it's not the news. Just be thankful you've not opened up the news bulletin and said in national news and international news, and come out with the immortal lines. But what else is on your list? Because I'm fascinated now. Aren't you? Great. This kind of relieves some of the pressure over here. So come on, who's next on your list?
I think that was it.
All right, we go back to Kate then. What have you got?
Freddie Mercury.
Freddie Mercury, sadly. Freddie Mercury, it was... I would have loved to have seen Queen. Obviously, you get the chance and the opportunity to go and see Queen without Freddie Mercury.
It's not the same.
I've had so many people say exactly the same thing. And I think, well, yeah, but that's impossible. Don't moan about it. It's absolutely impossible. You've got Queen... okay, you've got Brian May, and I think you've got Roger Taylor as well. They're the only two members that... but they were the other main members, and Brian May used to write an awful lot of stuff as well. So it still doesn't sell it enough to you.
Doesn't sell it enough for me, no.
Without Freddie Mercury.
It's not really Queen if it's not Freddie Mercury, to be honest.
That's what I say. That's what people are saying, but I think you look at it slightly differently. You've got people that have played with Freddie Mercury for a number of years. They are a massive, massive backbone of Queen as well. You know, it's impossible to have Freddie Mercury on the stage. That's the next best thing. And I think with Adam Lambert as well, I think it will be really, really good. I'm really looking forward to it, but he's one of the artists that I wished I'd, if not the only artist that I wished I'd seen live.
Really?
I wasn't that fussed about all the others. I mean, you know, David Bowie, yes, you had X amount of years to go and see him, but you didn't. But I did have a chance to go and see Freddie Mercury in 1986, a Kind of Magic tour, and I turned it down. I had tickets and I gave them away, and you know, yes, kick myself now. And that's probably the only time that I will actually kick myself for not going and seeing somebody. So you know, an absolute legend. I don't know, have you seen any of the Live Aid footage?
I haven't, no.
There is probably about a 15-minute section of Live Aid. Now, Live Aid went on for 12 o'clock on a Saturday lunchtime, and it went through until, I think it was midnight, but they went through to 10 o'clock at Wembley Stadium. act after act after act, and then they went all the way around the world with various different acts. And they were on sort of, I don't know, about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and they stole the show. They absolutely stole the show. They were only on for about 15 minutes. They did all of their hits, and Freddie Mercury had the crowd in the palm of his hand for the whole time he was there. And there was a cameraman. If you check out the footage, just put in Queen Live Aid 1985. And it will come up, and it's the most amazing performance. And he's got the camera. The cameraman is trying to get a close up of him. So I'm looking at you now with a camera, and he just kept walking around in a circle. So he made the cameraman walk in a circle, and then he turned to the crowd and went, you know, like that, as if to say, "Look at this monkey! I can make him do anything that I wanted him to do," and he did, and he was just incredible. And before they actually went on stage, Freddie Mercury was sat eating a bowl of Cocoa Pops or some cereal, cornflakes, I think it was cornflakes, eating a bowl of cornflakes. They were all in, the rest of the band were in the changing area with him, and they were all having a row whilst he was staying out of the row, eating his cornflakes, and somebody knocked the door and said, 2 minutes, and they went up and they just gave this most amazing performance after having a blazing row and him eating his cornflakes. So there's another little story as well. So what else have we got? Who else have we got?
Frank Sinatra.
Frank Sinatra.
King of big band. King of the big band.
Frank Sinatra.
Okay, I'm with you. Frank Sinatra.
No.
I'm not really a fan, but I can see the talent.
My brother.
Yeah?
Listens to it way too much, I'd say.
Go on, Frank Sinatra, tell us about him.
He was a very popular jazz singer.
Okay. And, say it.
Probably, me listening to him, my favourite was probably, like, Witchcraft, I think it was called.
Okay.
Or something like that.
All right. How old do you reckon he was when he died? Because he wasn't 27. Oh. He wasn't in the 27 club, was he?
68.
68?
Something like that.
He was about 68. I can't find it on the screen here, but he was certainly older than 27. Frank Albert Sinatra died in 1998, was born in 1915. So he was cracking on.
82 years old.
You're good at maths. I'm glad you are, because I could still be there in about 10 minutes' time working that out.
Same.
Remember the nickname?
I don't.
He did have a nickname, probably given to him by the ladies. Old Blue Eyes. Old Blue Eyes. If you want to give us a call, by the way, you can, 240666, and tell us who you'd like to resurrect, bring back from the dead, and ask them a question. What question would you ask Freddie? Not Freddie. What question would you ask Frank Sinatra, first of all?
That's a tough one. I don't think there's much you can ask him. I mean, he stayed within his genre, and he smashed it. He was the best at the genre in the time, so
okay.
I don't think I have any questions.
I would ask him one question, and the question would be, did you really have connections with the mafia? Because apparently he was connected to the mafia. I think that's the what would you ask Freddie Mercury then?
Oof, what wouldn't I ask Freddie Mercury?
Go on.
Where do you get the ideas for your songs, your videos, all of it? Because it's also alternative and it's also unique. How do you think of that? Where do you get the ideas from?
Okay. I would have asked him something really silly, like, why didn't you ever get your teeth done properly? Because they always look like part of the show, part of the act, part of the gimmick. And he never got them done brilliantly, so they looked absolutely spot on. They always looked a little bit out of place and crooked, didn't they? Didn't they?
Maybe he just didn't care.
Well, that's it. That's what I'd like to know. I know it might be a silly question, but that's what
natural
I'd like to know.
Natural beauty.
Hey, look, we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back with more. And if you do want to give us a call, you can, 240666. We know that there's lots of messages come through, and we should be revealing who's been in touch after these.
The Lunchtime Social, brought to you in association with White Fibre. Our packages are great value, and we constantly check our prices to ensure we remain competitive against other providers. Call for a chat on 01983 240 240. This is Vectis Radio.
Kid on Slapton Beach. It's published by White Diamond Press. Have you read it yet? It's June 1944. 7,000 ships are masted off the western end of the Isle of Wight, heading for the D-Day landings.
But did you know about the disastrous rehearsals for D-Day at Slapton Sands on the Devon coast just 5 weeks before? Don't miss reading The Kid on Slapton Beach. Find out more at www.whitediamondpress.com or buy it at your favourite bookshop now. The Kid on Slapton Beach.
White Crystal is an Isle of Wight charity selling still and carbonated spring water products, flavoured and water coolers, to fund care services, employment and life-enhancing opportunities for people with a range of disabilities. To see their fabulous wide range of products, go to www.whitecrystal.org.uk or call to place an order on 01983 520 128. That's 01983 520 128.
Hello, Maggie here, coach, mentor, consultant, speaker, author and survivor. Coaching differs when working with every client because people have different goals, aspirations or areas in their lives which they want to change. The common denominator is that they wish to make a change for the better and have made a commitment to do so. I coach by finding out what you want to happen, then we work together on solutions. I'm straightforward, but I will challenge you when it's in your best interest and I will hold you accountable. Get in touch today via my website, maggiecurry.co.uk, for a free chat to discover how I will support you through the changes you want to make. I will deliver the goods and help you get the results you want. Begin to unlock your future today.
The 4Ps project is for 11 to 19 year olds and up to 25 years with additional needs. Presenting, producing, promoting and podcasting. Check out www.4ps.org.uk. Sponsored by CLC, the Care Learning Centre.
Brett Buzz presents
the local music show.
3 hours of local music
from 7 till 10 p.m.
every Sunday.
Stay social and get in touch. Add us on Skype. It's Vectis.radio. The World Wide Web never felt so local.
Adam Frampton Plant Hire, plus groundwork contractors. All types of groundworks undertaken, from foundations to driveways. Free quotes plus first consultation. Special rates available on screened road planings. They also hire out dumpers, grab lorries, rollers, 360 excavators and mini diggers. For more details, phone 077 87 55 8501 or check them out at www.aframpton.co.uk.
The White Military and Heritage Museum. Situated on the main Cowes to Newport Road, the museum will excite your senses. Adults and children of all ages can experience the surge of adrenaline on an armoured vehicle ride around the tank track. For a real treat, why not try a ride in one of the Centurion tanks? There's also a covered rifle range to test your shooting skills. Enjoy refreshments in the cafe or the mess bar. Come along to the White Military and Heritage Museum, where you will be welcomed with open arms by our volunteer team. All profits are redistributed among armed service charities. Call 01983 300037 for more details or to book your ride.
The Dotty Imaging Company is a new business on the beautiful Isle of Wight. Specialising in creativity from graphic design for print to hand-produced paintings and drawings. Looking for inspiration for that special gift? Something unique? Then the Dotty Imaging Company is your solution. Using the traditional techniques of fine dots, I can produce beautiful pen and ink artwork that can be personalised for family and pet portraits. Order now your unique island gifts or purchase a portrait voucher to give to that special someone or even treat yourself. Google the Dotty Imaging Company, find me on Facebook or call 07 443 506 213. The Dotty Imaging Company, where creativity starts with the dot.
The Lunchtime Social, brought to you in association with White Fibre, providers of the fastest fibre optic broadband on the island. Check them out at www.whitefibre.com.
OK, welcome back then to our Lunchtime Social debate. We've got Kate in, otherwise known as Curly Sue. Just tell us briefly what we are actually talking about in this hour.
We're talking about if you could pick one famous musician who's unfortunately passed away to bring back from the dead, who would it be and why?
OK, and Carmelo's in as well. And we've established that Tina Turner's very much still alive at the moment. So hopefully she'll last before the end of the show. Have you got any more on your list?
I've got one.
Go on. I'm a bit worried, aren't you?
hopefully. James Brown.
James Brown. James Brown. Yeah. Couple of years ago?
He died in 2006.
2006?
73,
wasn't
he?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think he had a battle with pneumonia.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, because he was the one that had the film made about him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. There was Ray Charles did have a film made about him as well. Just okay. You know. All okay. Right. Okay.
I think a song which I liked was probably "Living in America."
Living in America. All right. So that was something from was that from Rocky? It was, wasn't it? Rocky 3, Rocky 4. I think it was. He didn't have that many hits.
James Brown?
Didn't have that many hits.
Yeah, he did. Get off that thing, dance until you feel better. It's a man's world.
How many hits do you reckon he had?
Well, he was pretty much... He was the founding father of funk music, to be honest.
Yeah,
he was. Popular music, dance, everything he did was pretty much a hit.
Yeah, but how many hits did he have?
I Feel Good. Sex Machine, I Got the Feeling.
How many hits did he have?
Well, these are all hits.
Yeah. How many hits did he have?
How many songs did he do?
How many hits did he have?
You tell me.
He probably had about 6, because I've got them all here. So he wasn't very prolific. When you think of the 6 hits that he had, how many top 10 hits do you think he had?
It depends what you classify as a hit. I'd classify most of the things he did as a hit because they're so definitive and they're so...
Can you name some more without looking at that?
Give It Up or Turn It Loose, Make Funk Part 1, Make Funk Part 2.
Okay, well, they weren't hits. Let me just tell you, they weren't hits. James Brown was the godfather of soul. Surprisingly, he only had about 7 hits here that you could call actual hits. Only one of them made the top 10, and that was the one that you mentioned, Carmelo, Living in America, which is really, really surprising when you think of people like Cliff Richard, the Rolling Stones, Paul McCartney as a solo artist, John Lennon as a solo artist, you've got Elvis Presley. They had masses and masses of top 10 hits, but James Brown only had about 5 or 6 that you could call hits. Some of those only just crept into the top 40. And I'm just looking now. Only one, two of them made the top 20. So when you think of James Brown as having hits, he didn't have that many. He really didn't. So, who's next?
Kurt Cobain.
Kurt Cobain. Another one of the 27 Club.
Yep.
And he was... how old are you? You're all right. You've got another 12 years. Don't worry. So he was...
lead singer in Nirvana.
He died about 1994, was it?
Yeah, I think so.
So... And his other half was...
Courtney Love.
Had a massive career knot in a band called Hole, who, funny enough, were produced by 2 guys that used to run a studio in Newport. Massive connection there. So who else have you got on the list?
Elvis.
Now there's a guy. I'm just going to do a little search on Elvis Presley. He was, like the Beatles, had something like 17 or 18 number ones. And the sad thing is I think they've been surpassed. When you ask of who's had the most number ones in the UK, people used to say Elvis Presley, then they would say Cliff Richard, because he had a few.
I think Michael Jackson passed Elvis the day he died.
You keep making these statements, don't you? Which
you can look it up. Sadly, I said I think.
Sadly incorrect. Elvis Presley had about 17, maybe 16 number ones. Cliff Richard was always in front of him. And then Elvis Presley's got a couple more. But since then, they've been surpassed, or the Beatles have been surpassed by Westlife, which is sad. But when you look at the long, long list of Elvis Presley tracks that are still being re-released and being put in the charts, there were some put in very recently, you can see why his music has stood the test of time. But it's just really interesting to know that he hadn't really written much himself. What else have you got there?
John Lennon.
Okay, tell us about John Lennon then.
Well, obviously the Beatles, and once a couple of them died, he was such an influential songwriter. He wrote for so many other people, and he wrote for himself, and they're all pretty big hits.
Can you name some?
No, I can't. Love Me Do?
Love Me Do, yeah, which was the first hit that the Beatles actually had. And there was a lovely story from our man John in the green room yesterday. And he came in and John Lennon wrote that song. And I think it was another a Liverpudlian group, Gerry and the Pacemakers, was offered the song. And he said, no thanks, I'll write me own. And yeah, they took that to number one eventually. What else have you got? You got one more, Carmelo?
Yeah, I've got one more. It's actually one of, like, my... I call it ancient favourites.
Go on, then.
Louis Armstrong, jazz trumpeter. And also singer. I think...
Did he ever work with Duke Ellington? Because they were at the same time, weren't they?
I don't know if he did.
They were both 30s, though, weren't they? 20s and 30s.
You asking or telling?
Telling.
Okay, interesting. Louis Armstrong, then, otherwise known as Satchmo. What else have you got there, Kate?
I think that's about it, to be honest.
Okay, a few messages here from a variety of people here. We asked the question, what musician, pop star, singer, call them what you will, that you'd like to bring back from the dead, and what question would you ask them? Jonathan Skeet says, I'd like to bring back Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart, and I'd like to know what he thinks about modern digital music-making technology. Interesting. Shirley Steed says, Elvis Presley, the greatest, most handsome guy ever. Darren Donkinsley says, Amy Winehouse, would she do things differently if she had a second chance? That's a great question. James Vox, who was on at 1 o'clock today, he said, I'd like to bring back Beethoven, but you couldn't ask him a question because he was deaf. Actually, he did have a scribble pad, so I would have asked him on the pad, why do you keep your full chamber pot on the top of your piano? Because apparently he did. What else have we got here? Louis Armstrong. How did it feel to be such a great musician and artist and yet not to be allowed to enter a venue by the front door because of your colour? That's an interesting question. And it just makes us realise just how far we have come in this world where, you know, only in his time, Louis Armstrong's time, where he was not allowed to walk into through a front door because of his colour. Pete Harris says, George Formby, and to ask him if it turned out nice again any day in heaven. Apparently that was his catchphrase. It turned out nice again. So, any more? Any messages there from friends?
Yeah, we have a couple. My friend Driscoll Green says he'd bring back Kurt Cobain because he defined the entire genre of grunge, pretty much.
Okay, and he was in the 27 Club. Any more for any more over there?
They've got pretty similar tastes to Bureau.
You have?
I don't.
You don't? Did you say you like grunge or not?
Grunge?
Yeah, we were talking grunge then. Kurt Cobain, Nirvana frontman.
I didn't really listen to Nirvana that much, but I did listen to one song. I
was talking to somebody yesterday and they said about Buddy Holly. Now, Buddy Holly died in a plane crash. He was just age 22 and he was a writer of so many songs, and such a sad loss. And you just wonder, you know, would rock and roll have taken on a different twist if he'd have carried on living. Rockabilly career mostly with the Crickets, bridged racial divide but lasted only a year and a half. He was killed on tour with Ritchie Valens and JP Richardson. There was a really amazing story where they tossed up, because there was only space for X amount of people on the plane, and they tossed up, and he won the toss and lost his life. And had he lost the toss, he wouldn't have been on the plane and he would still be alive. And I think it was the Big Bopper that was another rock and roll legend that was that didn't actually get on the plane. They lost the toss. Buddy Holly went in his place. Janis Joplin is another one that left us early. She was only, guess what age she was?
27.
27. Mm. Musically, the daughter of Bessie Smith and Lead Belly, developed the extraordinary course of her heartbreaking voice, never could kick the drugs and the alcohol either. So, and Jim Morrison, we haven't mentioned Jim Morrison, have we? Jim Morrison he was a legend. He was with the Doors. But have a guess what age he was. 27. Again, there you go. So maybe Brandon got that little bit right. Now, I'd just like to say thank you very much for being there today. That was Kate's fault, that discussion. It was her idea. Good idea. We had a good discussion, and we should point out at this stage that Tina Turner is very much alive and kicking. Okay. Anything you want to say before you go?
No,
okay, brilliant. Thank you.